Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Good morning, and welcome to the Monday Waffle, brought to you again on a Wednesday. WA Day on Monday, a couple of games played out, so we thought we'd bring the pod to you on a Wednesday. I am joined by my friend and colleague, Stewie Marshall. Stew, how are you going today, mate?
Good, Sam. How are you today, mate?
Mate, very well. Very well. An exciting weekend of waffle footy.
Yeah.
An exciting interview with Mark Redding's coming up later in the podcast.
Yes. Now,
things are going to be done a little bit differently today. We'll do a quick rundown of the weekend's games as per the usual. But then we might, at the halfway point of the season, try and give you guys our picks, our top five for the end of the season,
yeah.
A Sandover medalist,
yep.
And a premier. So a little bit different today, but Stu, I know you got a good look at the games on Saturday.
Yes.
What did you see?
So Saturday's action began at Claremont Oval with Claremont and Peel coming together, with both entering the match at two wins, five losses. And I guess it was a bit unlucky for Claremont picking up their first win in a few weeks, 2 weeks ago now, to come up against a much stronger Peel side last weekend, obviously with Daniel Pearce, Brandon Matera, Hayden Ballantyne and Michael Johnson.
Victims of Ross Lyon's new youth policy.
Exactly, the mid-season youth policy. But they've dropped down to the waffle, so it really bolstered Peel's stocks. But yeah, Peel made the fast start, kicking 4-1 in the first quarter, and then were up by 6-2 at halftime. Brandon Matera obviously responded from Freo's AFL side, kicking 3, having 20 touches and 8 marks, with Blair Bell and debutant Alex Cohen also kicking 2 apiece. The big one was Daniel Pearce. Of course, we've said on the podcast, should stay in the waffle this season, but he returned to the waffle and had 30 touches. Ethan Hughes, another name in and out of the Freo side, had 23. Ben Howlett racked up a mammoth 17 tackles. Not many players in any league can conjure up 17 tackles in a game, Sam.
You'd love to have him in your dream team with that sort of number. Four points a pop.
Yeah, I know. So a big, big performance from him. Braden Lawler had 20 touches and Hayden Ballantyne had 19, which is big numbers for him. Moving on to the other game on Saturday. Peel ran out winners 65-54, 10-5, 65 to 7-12, 54. So Claremont, you know, we're in it most of the game as they have been all year, but just got outshone towards the end of the match. Moving on to the next game on Saturday, it was Perth and Swan Districts at Steel Blue Oval, and Perth made the fast start in the clash with 8-2 in the second quarter and were up by as much as 40 points during the second term. So from that position, you'd think the team could get it done. However, that was not the case. Perth only kicked 1 in the second half to Swan District's 10 to lose 17-13, 115 to the Swans to 13-7, 85. So a big drop off from Perth. You never like to see that from any footy side.
A 70-point turnaround.
Yes.
How do you kick 12 in the first half and 1 in the second? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, so something's not right. So they kicked 1-3 in the second half, so yes, very, very, very worrying. So Clint Jones for Perth had 26 touches, Corey Yeo had 25, College had 21, and the returning Michael Sinclair had 20 with 9 marks. So yeah, Saturday's action was full of surprises, Sam.
It was. I mean, it's exciting footy. I mean, you come back from 7 down and win by 5. It's entertaining footy to watch. And I know Mark Redding's had a look at it, and we'll discuss that one later with him.
It's good for Swans because they've been a bit up and down this season as well, to have a big win like that after being down by 40 points. So any side that comes back from 40 points, obviously there's a bit of spirit in the side.
Bit of goal scoring power as well, obviously. Matt, I had a look at the two traditional derbies on WA Day Monday. First of all, the Falcons took care of the Royals at Arena Joondalup, 13-15-93 to 10-9-69. And it was the Tyler Keitel show, really. He kicked 6, and it saw West Perth get up in what was a tight contest for most of the day. They were up by 7 at the half. extended that to 16 at three-quarter time and then ran away with the game in the last quarter. I mean, Keitel stood tall in attack for West Perth in the absence of Andrew Strike. Along with his six goals, he had 16 touches and seven marks. Aaron Black continues to rack them up. He had 28 touches for the Falcons. Shane Nelson had 28. Luke Meadows, 22. And Corey Chalmers, 22.
Jay Van Berlo had kicked two goals.
Jay Van Berlo still going, isn't he?
Still getting it done in the waffle.
You'd think he was finished, but no, he's still going after his brief appearance in the AFL with Freo. For East Perth, I mean, another disappointing loss. They are up and down. It's hard to see why they're struggling with consistency. Braden Ainsworth was again in their best. He had 27 for the Royals. And Luke Partington also had 27. So I'm sure both of them will be getting a look back into that West Coast side shortly. I know Brand are also looking like he might get a crack with Jack Darling's injury on the weekend. Mm. So, I mean, East Perth struggles continue. And West Perth with a really, really good win at home on Monday. The other game, the Bulldogs, they absolutely smashed East Freo. East Freo now rooted to the bottom of the table with a percentage of just 60. For South Freo, they kicked the first eight goals of the game. And East Freo didn't even get on the board until the 20-minute mark of the second term. And, I mean, that was through a 50-metre penalty. So, sort of gives you a bit of a picture of how one-sided this one was. And they went out and they won by 73 points in the end. Corey Delelio celebrated his 100th for South Freo, and George Hampson, who's had a really, really good season for East Freo, he had his 100th as well on a disappointing day. South Freo played the game without their skipper, Dylan Main, but Nick Subin was outstanding with 28 touches and two goals. Hayden Schloith, my man, another 21 touches, 11 tackles and two goals.
Superb. Big game.
A massive game. I mean, he's not out of the running to go back-to-back in the Sandover.
No,
potentially
not at all.
A tip coming up later in the show.
Yep.
Jacob Dragicevic had 31 touches. And Cam Earnley continues to have a good year.
He's friend been of the on, podcast
Friend
as well.
Of the podcast. He had 30 touches for East Freo. George Hampson continues his good form with 26. And Nick Comer been pretty good since he's come back from Essendon with another 23 touches. But it is hard to see where the Sharks go from here. They, along with Claremont, really are the two sides. Oh, and Perth. Sorry, I've left them out. Perth, Claremont and East Freo are probably the three sides struggling the most to try and sneak into the five.
I think if Claremont are going to make the finals, they could slip in, but I'm still not sure. If they're going to make the finals into the top five, they're going to have to start turning these close games, these close losses into wins. They've obviously had plenty of them recently, and yeah, that's just sort of how I'm feeling, Sam. What do you reckon?
Tend to agree, Stu. They are probably the most likely of those bottom three sides due to those close losses. They have had that one blowout at the hands of Subi, but I mean, it's more a matter of who's going to come out. I think Peel is most likely to go into that top five who are currently sitting out of it at the moment.
You tend to think that Peel should make a run for it, particularly, as you mentioned earlier, if Ross Lyon is going with youth for the rest of the season in the AFL, there's going to be a larger number of experienced AFL players dropping down to the waffle, like Michael Johnson, Daniel Pearce, these sorts of guys. So Peel should, in theory, get stronger and better as the season goes on. So I would tend to think they'd hop up into that five. I mean,
I tend to agree.
And East Perth as well, purely because of the AFL alignment, you tend to think they should be up there with Subi, but they're obviously not performing at this stage.
So we'll go, this is where it's a little bit different this week. Stu, we'll go to you first. We want a premier, a Sandover medalist, and your top five, please.
Okay. Look, I'm going to go for premiers. Clearly, Subi are the out-and-out favourites, I would say. There's no denying that. Everyone sort of
doesn't take a wise man to pick them.
No, percentage of 227. I suppose I can speak for both of us here. 28 points, 1-7. Played 7, 1-7. Really, really formidable side. Top five. Subi on top. I tend to think that Peel and East Perth are going to hop up there as the season goes on. Swan Districts have been a bit too inconsistent for me, and I think their quality might struggle once Peel and East Perth make their run. So I'll go Subi, South Freo, Peel, East Perth, and it's a tight one between Swans and Claremont. I don't think Claremont have the bottle this season. They're just sort of fading away towards the end of games. So I think Swans will stick in the top five, but they'll finish fifth. So Subi on top, South Freo two, East Perth 3, Peel 4, and Swan District 5. What about you?
Matt, well, yeah, Subi will go top. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. South Freo, I've said previously, I think they're the side that's going to run Subi the closest. They'll finish second. West Perth, third. Let me take that back. Swan Districts, I think, will finish third. I think West Perth finish fourth. And here's my kicker. I think Peel sneak into the five. And who drops out then? East Perth. East Perth miss out. Peel's in.
Yep.
That's for me. I don't think East Perth will make the five. And Peel will sneak in. As we said, they're going to have a lot of experienced AFL heads in their side for the rest of the year. And I think, as we've seen over the last couple of final series, that's held them in good stead. Premiers, Subi, and Sandover medalist.
I'm going to go for Braden Ainsworth. He's averaging 25 touches this season. His numbers purely for this season have been great. Obviously, didn't play in rounds 2 and 3 earlier in the year, but he's racked up numbers of 24 touches in round 1, 23 in round 4, 26 in round 5, 23, 27, 27. So he's only getting better. Loves tackling as well. He's a tackle machine. Had 7 last weekend and 9 the week before. I think he's always at the top of the stats list. He seems to be the barometer for the Royals. He's a young player, only 19. Could it be a breakout year? You never know what could happen, but I think he's a bit of a... He's definitely going to be up there for the Sandover this year, Sam.
Yeah, not a bad pick. I think he might spend a bit of time with West Coast in the second half of the year, which may hinder his chances. I'm going to go with Hayden Schluth, my man. I think there's a few Subi players you could throw around. Kyle Horsley, Lachlan Delahunty. There's a few people, maybe not a Sandover medalist, but there's enough guys in that side taking votes off the better players in that team. So I think I'm going to go for someone, well, I'm going to go for Schloyth, who plays for South Freo, just less competition within that side to steal votes, I think.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Schloyth, if he goes back-to-back, I know Paul Hasby particularly called for him to get another look in at AFL level. If he does go back-to-back Sandover medals, you know, surely you'd think he'd be being looked at by particularly the West Australian clubs. Obviously, he was on Freo's list, but maybe West Coast will
follow Tim
up.
Kelly.
Mm.
All right, well, there you have it. There's our top five at the halfway point of the waffle season.
And now on the Monday Waffle Podcast is our interview with Channel 7 broadcaster Mark Reddings.
Thank you very much for joining us here on the Monday Waffle Podcast. How did you see the weekend's action? Any surprises?
Well, I have to say, the weekend games that we called, both were really entertaining. Swan Districts and Perth, high-scoring affair. And the Demons at one point got out to a 40-point lead from memory. They played some really attacking open footy. And Swan Districts, to their credit, always looked like they were in the game because Perth, a bit vulnerable in defence, allowed Swans back into it. But I thought that was a very entertaining game. Swan Districts, we've seen them a couple of times now over the past fortnight, and they beat East Perth in wet conditions. On Saturday, of course, it was beautiful and fine. So they've shown they can play in all types of weather and against opponents. So they have, to me, the look of a finalist about them, and they're playing some really good footy. As for Monday's game between West Perth and East Perth, well, it was a Tyler Keitel show. Ended up with 6 goals and really was the difference between the two sides. West Perth's pressure on East Perth was outstanding. So Billy Monaghan, his 200th game, getting the 4 points. And I have to say that I thought West Perth, that was their most impressive performance I've seen from them this year. Still leaves all of these clubs a little bit shy of what Subiaco has produced so far, but at least we know they're the benchmark, and it's a pretty tight race outside of the Lions.
Yeah, and just on the West Perth-East Perth game, have you been surprised by East Perth's struggles this season? But I suppose to more of an extent, Peel's struggles, considering they're the reigning premiers twice over?
Yeah, just on East Perth, look, they showed some signs on the weekend. And I guess the difficulty is they've got players coming back from West Coast on a regular basis. I thought Petrocelli showed a couple of signs. Ainsworth, really good. And Brander might find himself in that Eagles lineup fairly shortly. So it's a bit of a juggling act for Luke Webster. But the times we have seen them this year, they have been a shade disappointing, I have to say, East Perth. That being said, I think they strung together 4 in a row after that terrific round one loss to Subiaco. East Perth, they'll be in the mix to finish in the top five, but no question they'll be under the pump just to get there if they continue to lose matches like they did on Monday. As for Peel, well, we only saw them for 7, that is, against Subiaco. That was our most recent sighting of them, and they led at quarter time by 8 points. And from memory after that, It was about 19 goals to 3 or something horrific for them. So they have got some major issues to get back to where they were. Having said that, it all depends really on how Fremantle goes in the back half of the season. We know the rules have been adjusted to maybe restrict their strength in September. But look, they've won a game against Claremont at the weekend. They've got some talent we know there. But to make it a three-peat in any form of sport, it's tough, and I think Peel's finding that out right now.
Well, there was a few big performances from the Fremantle players that dropped down to the Waffle, namely Daniel Pearce and Brandon Matera. I suppose it's good for them that they're coming back and getting form in the Waffle.
Absolutely. Look, I think Daniel Pearce will spend most of the rest of this season in the WAFL, barring a host of injuries in the Fremantle league side. As for Brandon Matera, he just needed to get himself back in touch, didn't he? He's clearly an AFL player. He's what he was brought to 304 to kick goals and become a lively player inside their attacking 50. So, yeah, it's always important that these players go back, get a couple of touches, and ensure that Ross Lyon's got a bit to think about come selection time, namely this Thursday for this weekend's game against the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, and you mentioned before about Subiaco being the benchmark in the competition. Just how good are Subiaco, do you think?
Well, I was with Peter Bell in one of the commentary positions about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he said if the Lions chose to, they could go through the season undefeated. Now, I'm not sure that Jared Schofield would particularly choose to go through, well, undefeated, when I say that, they'd be more than happy if they got through undefeated and won the grand final.
Yeah.
But to get to the grand final without having had a loss, it just would cause some consternation for a lot of people at Subiaco. So I suspect they might drop a game later in the year, maybe two. But if they're resting players, managing players, that might be the case. But bear in mind, Perth got pretty close to them for three quarters the other week. So it really will be a case of if Subiaco's mind is on the job, they will most likely win every game. If it's not, they might drop it a game or two. But they're going to be very tough to beat. In fact, yeah, the premiers, you'd think, are Subiaco. It's who's going to run second.
Yeah.
You mentioned before Perth pushing Subiaco for three quarters. We've seen Claremont lose a lot of close ones, and a couple of weeks ago we saw three sides lower on the ladder beat sides who are higher on the ladder heading into the round. Do you think there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before we see the final five locked in for this season?
Well, I thought about a month or so ago that it was going to be very one-sided with regards to a split between the top and the bottom half of the competition. But you're right, there have been some pretty competitive performances. Look, East Fremantle and Perth, the two teams that have been struggling big time, and Claremont not that far ahead of them either. I honestly am disappointed with what Claremont's produced this year with regards to results. They've got a pretty good list, to my reckoning. Darren Harris is a good coach. They should be playing finals football. But
Mark, do you think that Claremont's list is a bit young? Is that probably why they're not doing as well as they probably should?
Yeah. Possibly. Maybe when we look at their list, we also, from my perspective, seeing them once every couple of months. I've got them this Saturday against Swan Districts. But sometimes you do look at some of those experienced players and then forget there's been a bit of a drop away with, as you say, with youth coming through. But I would have suspected Claremont to be winning more games than they have this year, for sure.
All right, Mark, we're going to go straight into it. We want your tip for the flag and the Sandover medal this year.
Well, I think it might be a Subi double. Although, given what I've said about the Lions, you have to put a tick next to their name for the premiers. The Sandover medal, Kyle Horsley, is probably the best player in the competition at the moment. The best captain, he ticks a lot of boxes. The only question, of course, with the Sandover is will he be able to get enough votes? Will his teammates pinch a bunch of votes away from him? But from what I've seen thus far, I think Kyle Horsley is going to be extremely tough to beat for the Sandover medal, irrespective of the fact that he might have a couple of teammates grabbing a vote or two off him.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you very much again for your time here today on the Monday Waffle on a Wednesday. And we'll try and touch base with you later on in the season.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the weekend's footy.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.